Then I call the meeting of the HDC Audit Committee to order. And duly note the presence of a quorum. First item in the agenda is the approval of the minutes of the members' meeting held on October 29th, 2020. Do I have a motion?
I move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, any opposed? There being no opposed, motion carries. The agenda items, review will be led by Rich Froelich.
Thank you, Harry. So today's meeting, Rick and I will present a short COVID-19 update. Then Ellen will do the investment reports. Then Mary Hom will do a report on the credit risk exposure. She has an internal audit report, and she will seek your approval for the fiscal 2021 internal audit plan. And then finally, Lou Roberts will provide a brief update on the status of the audit. Good news, things are moving quickly and well, and he'll provide a little bit more detail. And that's today's agenda.
Okay, thank you. The COVID-19 update, Eric and Rich.
Thank you, Harry. I'll just start and others can add. You know, I feel like we're going into a little bit of, and you guys all read the news as well, so we're in a little bit of a watchful waiting mode. I mean, there's a lot of reason for many people to be kind of hopeful on the vaccine front. Just this morning, obviously, there's more good news. We kind of feel like that hasn't changed our timeline too much. We've already told the staff that we would be out of the office at least till the end of the year, and that we would reevaluate beginning in January. So that continues kind of on that same pace, although this gives comfort that it looks like there's an effective vaccine that's coming along with some effective treatments. At the same time, you know, we're all concerned about this, what's described as the third surge, and a lot of the models indicate that New York could get about a quarter to a third as bad as it was previously, and a lot of that depends on individual behavior and those sorts of things, those sorts of assumptions. So there's that piece of it. We are continuing in the same way that we have been. All of our business continuity has been functioning as we've reported out previously. 99%+ of our work can be done remotely and effectively. We just closed the big NYCHA deal that the board approved last month on Monday. So another 1,700 units there, and we're moving forward with our pipeline. We had said previously and continue to say that one of the big victories that you kind of forget the dark months of March and earlier, even into April, that we weren't sure what was going to happen on construction, and we've reopened construction. And even though there have been some clusters around construction, the reports that we've seen out of City Hall and the construction committee that's been working on this is that those clusters are really related to activity that are not necessarily job site activity, and that testing has also been brought to many of the construction sites in New York directly to make sure that those sites continue to be safe for employees. So we feel confident in saying that we've opened at scale and safely on the construction side, and so that continues. You all have seen the changes at the federal level on the with the election. Obviously, that's big, and we don't know exactly where that's going to go. There's been rumblings yesterday about kind of reviving this relief bill, a modified, a smaller version of the HEROES bill, which is the new version I saw is about $908 million, so not even a billion, $908 billion, so not even $1 trillion. These numbers get crazy. So much smaller than what we'd seen, and we'll see where that goes. We also have some good indication that there's support for fixing the 4% credit and reviving the Federal Financing Bank, which would be critical for us all on both the recovery side, but then also on just the refinancing side as well, and ultimately for economic development. So that would be a powerful tool to get back. And we're watching, there's a lot of indication that there might be GSE action in the none too distant future. I think Rich might want to say a little bit more about that. So I'll leave it there unless there are questions. And then Rich, if you want to add or
no, just also that the portfolio itself is performing. As I said, you know, we're deep in work on the audit, but the financial success of the corporation continued throughout 2020, as we had advised you earlier, and that is still the case. we obviously need more, and the challenges that both New York City and HDC face are real. But the good news is that we are well positioned and we're articulating those things as clearly as possible. As Eric mentioned, and with the closing of the Manhattan Bundle, that was our first risk sharing deal with Fannie Mae. We're expecting more. And so the GSEs are important partners of ours, and the discussion about how they may be rolled out are things that we're going to pay close attention to, because those relationships are important and they're important counterparties, as Mary will point out when she does the credit risk exposure. We do a lot with the GSEs. We invest with them and they enhance a significant amount of our portfolio. So continued observation and participation in how they will evolve are important for us. But other than that, I mean, as I said, we continue. We're prepared for bad things and pleased that things have continued as well. And it speaks a lot to our underwriting and our capacity and our asset management and our follow through that we've made ourselves very accessible during this process and helped people as they try to adjust.
It sounds good. I think workforce. I just came out of a meeting with our senior managers. This question about when to return to work, like what protocols are going to be in place for the workforce. There are questions about whether or not schools are open. I mean, for us, it's national, but even here in New York, obviously. And at transportation, whether and how the train systems, once fully loaded, will be safe. And then the notion that the vaccine is gonna be really helpful, but probably gonna need more than one vaccine in a year per person to keep the immunity level where it is. And if that's the case, like, what is the deployment process gonna be? And so there's just so many factors. I think, I assume that you have a focus on like just the workforce piece of it. It sounds like the business part is tight, but like, how do you kind of support the workforce and provide some flexibility for folk who may not think it's a good idea to come back into the office for what any number of reasons?
Absolutely, we agree with that. And we are talking a lot about that and also about mental health support. But we, you know, I mentioned the January just to reevaluate, but I think a lot of folks think it's gonna be, you know, a good part into the year, and even on a voluntary basis for a while, you'd have to see really strong, as you point out, efficacy from the vaccine and people feeling like it's safe to be out and about and get that recommendation. And we're taking our cues from City Hall, and the Department of Health is running the vaccine program with support from other places. So there's a lot of technical support that's needed. Those freezers that we keep reading about that are needed. EDC apparently is been tracking the location of all those in New York. So absolutely from within the agency who are internally part of that and then are externally linked to City Hall and Department of Health Action and Test and Trace and other places. So absolutely understood, and we agree with that.
Yeah, thank you.
We're basically looking at the middle of next year, assuming that the vaccine gets, you know, fully deployed or pretty much fully deployed before people will feel it's safe to go back in the water, so to speak. Mm-hmm. That's our view. And then as far as, the financial and other assistance, depends on Georgia, and if it goes one way, then it's entirely dependent on Malevolent Mitch. And if it goes the other way, maybe some things will get done a little easier. So still many balls in the air here.
Yeah.
Just one thing I'll say, as I know you're probably under some, I know that there's some push from City Hall to get people back sooner. I've heard sort of anecdotally. We at Con Edison have told, there's a formal memo that went out to everyone that has the option. There's certain people who don't really have the option. but the vast majority of people that no one's expected back in the office until July. And from the remainder of July through 2021, it's optional. And you're encouraged to stay home after July, but it's not as, right now you have to get permission to go into the building. So what's changing in July is the ability to come freely, but still encouraging through the end. So it's just one comparable for you to think through.
That's great.
I think you're under a different set of pressures than probably we are.
Yeah. To be fair, we have not, just so you all know, we have not been under any kind of real pressure. There was a little bit, it felt like when the business community had called on for some reopening about a month and a half or 2 months ago, there felt like there was a little bit of pressure about this 25% return discussion. But I think when numbers started spiking again, and there were so many challenges around school opening and closing, as we all, you know, many, many folks are grappling with that, which is, as Denise pointed out, it's a whole set of issues there, and transportation, that there's very little pressure or ongoing communication to come in at any particular percentage of the city right now. So I feel like that's clear through the end of the year, which is also part of how we communicated to our staff as well. But I appreciate the comp, because I think that those conversations of, you know, there's been a lot of leadership in the world by tech companies and others who have actually thought this through with, you know, private experts. And so it's nice to have that kind of level setting in terms of what the world is doing on a prudent basis and a science-based basis. So I thank you for sharing that.
Okay. If there's nothing else on the COVID, then we'll go to the debt report, Ellen. Yeah, you're mute.
Thanks, Harry. Sorry about that. Thank you. So Corporation Debt Report is as of October 31st, 2020. The last debt report presented to the Audit Committee was as of September 30th, 2020. During this time, the corporation issued one series of open resolution bonds totaling $64 million. There are bond redemptions in one series of open resolution bonds in the amount of $10.9 million and a standalone redemption in the amount of $13.3 million. Corporation's debt outstanding as of October 31st is approximately $13.1 billion, and the corporation's statutory debt capacity is $15.5 billion. Questions?
Yeah. Eric, is there any thought of trying to raise the debt capacity limit? Or?
Yeah, we are going to make we're probably going to fall into a bit of a standing request, and we will be requesting an increase, particularly with the NYCHA work that we've been doing. So we anticipate that we'll be regularly making a request to increase that debt limit.
With a specific amount or?
We've been talking, Ellen or Rich, we've been talking about a billion, but it could be.
I think we're talking about 17 billion, so billion and a half.
A billion and a half.
And a half, okay. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Give us some room.
Okay. And that's it for the debt report, Ellen?
That's it.
Okay, don't leave the stage, because the next item is the investment report.
Okay. The corporation's investment report is as of November 16, 2020. The funds under management total approximately $5.1 billion, and this reflects routine investment activity. And now, this is the time of the year that we review the rating agency reserve fund, which was previously approved by the audit committee. And so after debt service, the open resolution was paid on November 1, 2020, and certain redemptions were made. The amount of long-term bonds outstanding in the open resolution is approximately $7 billion. Based on this balance, a 2% reserve would equal $140.3 million, a 2.25% reserve would be $157.9 million, and a 2.5% reserve would amount to $175.4 million. So during fiscal year 2020, the reserve fund was funding the amount of $135 million. Due to the higher amount of bonds outstanding, the strong diversified cash flows in the open resolution, and the $25.6 million of guarantee reserves currently cash funded, the HEC staff recommends that the reserve should be increased to $140 million at this time. Any questions?
Okay, there being none. The next item is the report on HDC's credit risk exposure. And Mary?
Thank you. Okay, please find attached an unaudited report detailing the corporation's counterparty exposure as of October 31st, 2020. The previous report to the audit committee was dated September 30th, 2020. There were no new additions to the list of counterparties, and there were no rating agency actions of note. HDC's counterparty exposure, as we mentioned earlier, remains diversified with the largest exposures continuing to be with Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. Investments rated AA or higher were 45% of total investments versus 48% at the last report, while investments rated BBB or not rated were 29% of total investments versus 28% at the last report. And these investments are fully collateralized by high quality US Treasury or agency securities and or Federal Home Loan Bank letters of credit. HDC exposure to liquidity providers was unchanged since the last report. Any questions?
No, any questions? Any questions? Okay, there are none. So then we can go on the internal audit report.
Okay, since the last report to the audit committee on October 29th, 2020, the petty cash audit was completed and a copy of the report is in your packet. Our primary objectives were to determine whether adequate internal controls exist to ensure that the cash asset was safeguarded and maintained in the proper amount. Petty cash disbursements were in compliance with the corporation's policies and procedures, and the Empress Fund was properly authorized, processed, and reconciled. We found the corporation's guidelines to be effective and found no matters involving internal controls and its operation that we consider to be material weaknesses. With respect to the specific audit results, we established that the petty cash disbursements were in compliance with policies and procedures. The petty cash on hand was kept in a secured lockbox and maintained in the proper amount, and all expenditures were properly authorized, processed, and reconciled. The petty cash audit was performed virtually, and there were just 5 transactions during the scope period. I will remind the audit committee that this is a required audit that we must perform each year pursuant to the 2003 MOU with DOI. Any questions?
Since you're working remotely, you're not really, I mean, how does petty cash actually work? It's not exactly.
So there were 5 transactions, and I think a few of them were before the shutdown. And then the few that happened during shutdown were office services personnel who are in the office. And they are the custodians of the petty cash box. And so we contacted them and did a virtual meeting and count of the petty cash. Okay. And that's how we perform the audit.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. So far I've lost the screen, but I guess you can hear me.
We can hear you.
Just a quick question on the few mortgages, I guess, or lend, borrowers that have run into some difficulties. Is there any significant risk there?
The borrowers?
Yeah, so, Harry, I mean, the question about the portfolio is that it's not been a significant issue. We have a handful. We've done. We just did do sort of a continuing disclosure as it relates to that. There are a few people who sought forbearance, and there have been a few instances of people dipping into reserves. But right now, there is no significant risk. We believe. Some people might have seen there was an article today or yesterday about the Geary designed 8 Spruce, and the vacancy there is quite high. And so there are examples of that. That actually is conduit debt. We're not the we don't have credit risk there. But overall, the portfolio is performing well.
I would just add to that a little bit too. This isn't a distress issue, but because rates are very low, we do expect we're going to be dealing with a number of requests for refinancing. And so when we mentioned FFP earlier, that's a key driver. But even absent that, I think we're going to have a lot of folks, or a fair number of folks, asking to refinance just because it's smart to do it, not necessarily because there's distress. But again, there's also this watchful waiting. You know, a lot of the income supports don't fully end until the end of this year, December. So there's a huge amount of rent cliff out there, and there's a huge amount of potential problem. We just haven't seen it show up yet, and we're hoping it doesn't. We're hoping the federal government steps in and extends this relief bill as it should, to make sure that that doesn't happen. So that's part of the kind of watchful waiting that we have going on here.
Okay. Okay, the next item is the internal audit plan. And again, Mary, you're back on stage.
Thank you very much. Okay, please find attached for your approval a proposed internal audit plan for 2021. After careful performance of the annual risk assessment process, which included individual discussions with members of the audit committee, as well as team discussions with the various departments across the corporation, internal audit has developed a plan that seeks to maximize the areas of risk that we will review during the year. This proposed plan includes a combination of assurance audits, which we have typically performed, along with the introduction of a couple of new concepts to HDC's internal audit department, namely agile auditing and continuous monitoring. Agile audits are shorter, more efficient audits that seek to examine very specific areas of risk that can be quickly examined and reported upon. And the concept of continuous monitoring seeks to monitor areas of risk on a continuous basis in real time without having to perform a full-blown audit every couple of years. The introduction of these two concepts will enhance internal audit's ability to assess and monitor more areas of risk throughout the corporation. The proposed internal audit plan for 2021 includes 5 assurance audits, the outsourcing of 2 assurance audits, 2 advisory engagements, 4 agile audits, 2 special projects, and the commencement of continuous monitoring of HDC's investment portfolio. I want to take this opportunity to thank the members as well as the leadership and staff of the corporation for their input in the creation of this plan. Are there any questions? If none, the members of the audit committee are requested to approve the 2021 internal audit plan.
I move.
Second. Okay. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay. In other business, the status of the fiscal year 2020 audit from Ernst & Young. Lou Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Rich said it, we are in the middle of the audit. Things are moving quickly. We've completed our meetings with management to go through our walkthroughs of the significant processes, keeping a focus on determining whether or not there's been any impact of the remote environment on internal controls. Have to report there has been no changes with the environment. So the controls are designed effectively. We've sent out a majority of our confirmations, the investments, receivables, and debt. We received the draft of the financial statements last week. So we're reviewing that and providing feedback to Mary. And we have started having video conferences with the accounting staff just to provide weekly updates. And the fact that we're not there in person kind of just helps keep us all in check and personalize the audit just a little bit. So we thank the corporation for, you know, being able to accommodate that request. So that is kind of a brief overview. But again, things are moving along and we're kind of tracking consistent status as we had in the past.
Okay. Any questions? There being none, is there any other business? If there is no other business, I would like to call for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The Audit Committee meeting is adjourned.